We must be doing something right the last 200 years.
So we didn't acknowledge it on our latest free episode, but our most recent one is actually our 250th episode. And, you know, rather than doing a 250th episode spectacular, we set out to talk about Burden of Dreams, a film which in many ways embodies, you know, the Sisyphean task that we undertook, what, 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
The Sisyphean task of being professional content producers, of having podcasts and articles and, you know, podcast guest appearances and just being more content than man.
Pushing up the hill, pushing at a 40-degree incline, devising an elaborate content production system to push up the hill, something which began as an ironic, quasi-ironically branded Michael Moore podcast and has since professionalized and formed a partnership with a magazine. Anyway, we don't have anything special plan, but something that Will and I like to do occasionally is scroll through our past episodes, because there are 250 of them now, and it's very funny to see kind of like which ones actually stand out and which ones we remember. It's like, obviously, if there was a week where we watched a Bergman film or something like that, you know, we remember what that is. I'm not going to forget The Magician, you know, I'm not going to forget other films that I like, First Reformed, whatever, but there's a lot of these where I feel if we, you know, revisit just the title, it's going to be very hard to recall actual details of the film. Much harder for us, I'm sure, than for many of you listening.
Well, can I ask if you remember episode number 27, Gavin McInnes's How to Be a Man?
Yes, I do remember that one, because that was strangely popular at the time. Remember, the view count was really high for some reason. And I suspect that one must have made its way into like alt-right networks or something, where people thought that we were like, we had something nice to say about it. No, I remember that one.
I remember it because the movie was so fucking bad.
Well, I remember it specifically for the scene where, because that one is like, it's like an alt-right manosphere, sort of like My Fair Lady, where Gavin McInnes,
right,
he like teaches like a young beta male how to like talk to girls or whatever, and has one of the most like appalling scenes I've ever
seen. I know
the
one you're thinking of.
Yeah, where he's talking about like, he literally says something like, no doesn't mean no. No, a second time doesn't mean no. It's only like the third time.
Okay, that's not the scene I was thinking of. I'd totally forgotten that. What I remember is the scene where he's like riffing about going down on women when they're at a bar together, and he like goes on this like huge production of like step by step how to best go down on a woman, and he's doing like hand gestures, and like everyone at the bar is laughing as he's doing this riff.
I do remember that. I mean, he thinks he's like a comedian.
Yeah. And the whole movie, too, has this kind of like weird alt-right Woody Allen vibe
to it. Well, it's funny that it's filmed like an indie movie. I mean, okay, obviously we do remember this one. It's like, what if...
Listen Up, Philip or something.
Yeah, what if Garden State was really right-wing and like anti-feminist? Okay, so I got one for you. Do you remember, all the way back in episode 21, a movie called Sarah Palin, The Undefeated?
Yes, I do, because that one was directed by Steve Bannon. And what I remember about that episode is we were still young and unprofessional, and the audio levels are really bad on that one. A lot of the audio was blown out. I wouldn't necessarily recommend revisiting that one. Do you remember episode number 67, Going Upriver, The Long War of John Kerry?
Oh, boy. Okay, what I remember about that one is that it was really difficult to to find. We wanted to do it for a while. God, beyond that...
Don't remember a single thing about it, no.
I don't think so. You don't either?
No, and you know, it was...
You don't have a cheat sheet at your end?
You know what's weird? It's weird that we did that so late. Like, the fact that we did an ephemeral John Kerry documentary from 2004 in, like, 2017... Like, who cares? What did we tie
well,
it to?
Well, again, that's the Sisyphean task that this show has undertaken from the outset. Okay, do you remember episode 25, Steve Bannon's Generation Zero?
Yes, I do, because that one really articulated Steve Bannon's particular worldview, because he argued that societies have this kind of like boom-bust cycle where it's like, you know, there's a great conflict, a great war, like World War II, and then after the war, you know, everyone's been humbled and everyone has new skills and they work together and they create a society where everyone knows their place. But then then along come these decadent...
Right. This is presumably from his, like, half, you know, half-baked reading of, like, Ovid and fucking, you know, the classics.
That's right. And then societies grow decadent with things like the sexual revolution and feminism, and then we need another war to right things and get people in their place.
God, it's like, you know, conservatism is just the enterprise of, like, being a professional conservative is, like, it's the enterprise of, like, every 20 years or 25 years or so, you figure out how to, like, shoehorn the same basic narrative, but just, like, you topically update it, and then you shoehorn it into, like, the story the conservatives have been telling since the revolution, French Revolution, and, like, before. And you always have to give it a grounding in something ancient. So it's like Ben Shapiro's shitty book about how the United States is just like the greatest thing ever. And it's like this exceptional society or whatever. That whole book is just the same bullshit argument American conservatives have been making for ages. But then he has to tack on this whole kind of mythical thing about how like the United States was actually where Athens and Jerusalem achieved the perfect synthesis. Like you always have to give these things that are created on the fly to justify whatever conservatives are thinking, whatever their like pet grievances are in a particular moment, you know, in a window of 5 or 10 or 15 years or so. You have to figure out a way to shoehorn it into like, this is part of an epic struggle that's been going on for 3,000 years.
Do you remember the one from episode 90? The episode was called Democracy Dies in Dorkness. Great title. And the movie was called Spin.
Oh boy. Okay, so was this the one where it was like a kind of experimental film where it consisted of footage that wasn't broadcast from like cable broadcasts? Like they would just leave the cameras on and there'd be some like obscure channel where you could pick it up and the film is like that stitched together?
Correct. Like, it was like live feed that...
Right. You know. This was an interesting one. Yeah. Actually, yeah, Bronco told me about that one. And this is the one that has that amazing scene where Larry King, who's just like being an absolute snake, and he's talking to... It's either Al Gore or Bill Clinton. And he's saying like, yeah, you guys are doing great. It's really exciting. And you know what we could do is we could do a thing where I could like come on the road with you or something like that. It's so slimy. Okay, so I got one for you. I feel like, you know, neither of us has quite stumped the other one yet. I didn't really remember anything about the John Kerry one. But what about number 53, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed? Do you remember anything about that one?
Not only do I remember Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, I saw that movie theatrically.
Okay, well, this one doesn't count then. Okay, this one's the free space on the board. Let me hit you with another one here. Well, it's not going to stump you because I feel like it's one of the sort of formative episodes. And amusingly, a film that... absolutely no one has ever seen, but I think has just been given a Criterion release. I'm talking about Robert Downey Jr.'s film, The Last Party, which I think alongside kind of Man of the Year, Slacker Uprising, I mean, it's a top five Michael and Us movie.
Genuinely awful.
I mean, incredibly bad. a film that is about nothing, a monument to its own hollowness and vacuousness. I feel like there's almost nothing that captures our politics, what a concept formulation better than that.
With an extra dose of vacuous, like, lib celebrity bullshit.
Do you remember that? You remember that shot? I mean, again.
Of him swimming in the fountain?
Right. Where he's sort of like frog jumping through the fountain or whatever.
Do you remember the part where like somebody is quizzing him on politicians and their positions as if they're like baseball cards?
Right.
You know, and he's like at the RNC and the DNC and he's seeing all those protests. Oh yeah.
Right. He's just a damn tourist because all this stuff is just like part of the mise-en-scene of American culture now. It doesn't mean anything. It's all spectacle. And that movie is almost like celebrating that. And it's being like, oh, whoa, look at this. Isn't this pretty cool?
Number 59, Bill Maher, Live from Oklahoma. Can you remember? I mean, of course you know that we did it, but can you remember a thing about it?
I mean, he probably says something about like trans people using the bathroom, right?
I can't remember.
Probably.
Yeah.
Kids today.
Yeah.
I mean, we also did a Dennis Miller special, and I think also one of the like latter day Ricky Gervais stand up things. Was it Humanity? And
that's
they all kind of mashed together, to be honest.
So I was looking at Twitter and people, you know, the Dennis Miller episode is worth looking up because it opens with my brilliant impression of Dennis Miller.
Okay. I don't remember that.
Which we should listen to because it's very good.
Okay. Here's one. Episode 81, Kirk Cameron Saving Christmas. Do you know what that is?
Oh yeah. That was that one where,
I don't know.
You don't know. Oh, you'll remember it when I describe it. So Kirk Cameron is this like Christian movie star and it's set at a Christmas party where there's like a guy who is losing his faith, not in God, but in the institution of Christmas. He thinks it's become too commercialized. And Kirk Cameron, who's like the king of Christmas, he says, why don't you come out to the car and I'll tell you why actually the commercialization of Christmas is what Christ wants. And he like describes these various scenarios of like why it's all good, why spending money on Christmas is good.
If you didn't commodify Christmas, it's like how would you create jobs?
I mean, I can't remember exactly what the arguments are.
It's funny, I don't remember any of the details, but it's like, I know now that you've kind of like given me the skeleton of it, it's like I know what the argument is, because this is the great innovation of like white conservative evangelical theology in America, where it's like, oh yeah, it turns out that the purest thing of all is to just be extremely greedy and sinful, and actually that's like the real kingdom of heaven is like the SUVs we purchased along the way, you know?
This is another one that I know you'll remember, but some of our listeners might have forgotten. Number 57, Howard Dean, Lessons from an American Primary.
One of the greats. Again, probably definitely a top 10 Michael and Us film.
Yeah.
That was one where the guy like sort of, well, befriends is too strong a word, but like various like Tucker Carlson, like a couple of Sean Hannity.
He's a guy who's just a normal guy.
He's just following, like he's part of just the roadshow of American politics.
He's got a mini DV camera and he decides to follow around the Howard Dean presidential campaign.
And he's a conservative, right? And he's like not really into it.
I don't necessarily know. I think he's like just kind of into politics.
I thought he was a conservative who's just also into politics,
He's a conservative in like the Ken Bone sense, where he's not very smart about it. He's got a certain reactionary streak. But yeah, like in that movie, he keeps running into Tucker Carlson. And by the end of the movie, Tucker Carlson is kind of like amused by him and happy to see him. He's like, oh, hey, it's you. Kind of greets him warmly at the end.
He says, hey, buddy. Whereas Hannity is like a total dick.
Asshole. Yeah. Okay. See if you can match the movie with the episode title. Number 137, Oh Boy, Another Politics Movie.
Okay, you know what? This is actually a better game. Maybe we should be doing this for the beginning. Okay, I'm going to guess it's an Alexandra Pelosi film. Am I right? Oh my God, what is it?
It's The Front Runner, starring Hugh Jackman. The one where
Gary Hart. Gary Hart, okay. Yeah. I do remember that movie. Okay, what was Fear and Loathing on the Champagne Trail?
Well, I think that's an Alexandra Pelosi movie, is it? Or am I wrong?
No, this was from a movie called Race for the White House, which is a CNN docutainment.
Okay, I don't remember what that is.
I didn't remember either, but it's coming back to me. This was like a docuseries where each episode was about like a different presidential race, solely discussed through the personalities of like the two
contenders. One of them was Michael Dukakis.
And one of them was Michael Dukakis. So the thumbnail for this one was like the famous image of him on top of the tank or whatever. And this one was great because it perfectly captures the sort of, I don't know, Time Magazine way of thinking about politics. I mean, I know it's a CNN documentary, but like in the sense that it presents the conclusion of every single one of these things as like the conclusion of a tragic drama or something, or just like a drama where the end perfectly fits into a morality tale. And both of the two players involved are fundamentally noble people, but one of them was the person America needed, you know, right now, goddammit.
Number 168, The Centrist Manifesto. That could be any movie we've done, but what movie was it?
Okay, I'm racking my brains. Okay, I think I've got it. Was that the biopic featuring our buddy Woody Harrelson about Lyndon Johnson?
Correct.
And how it's a movie about like Lyndon Johnson and Kennedy ahead of the passage of the Civil Rights Act. And it's literally a movie about how like Kennedy is what Rob Reiner thinks Obama is. And then Johnson is what Rob Reiner thinks Biden is, where it's like, we gotta have idealism, but like you gotta have idealism tempered by like the deal maker.
Yeah.
And like the arc of history is long, but it bends to the right thing happening eventually because like, you know, eventually like elites find their way and there's some kind of ethereal, apocal process of history by which Lyndon Johnson becomes like not racist and like, passes the Civil Rights Act.
Well, because the whole movie
bipartisanly.
The whole movie is about how he has to finagle both sides. But then at the end, it just contradicts its own thesis because he just comes out and says, fuck the other side. We're going to go big or go home.
Well, see, I don't think it does contradict its own thesis because, you know, yeah, it contradicts its, like, maybe its initial thesis. But I think that it does perfectly capture the theory of change that exists for a lot of liberals. You know, it's like Obama loved to cite that, you know, the arc of history is long, but it bends towards progress. And it's like, you can read that as a statement of historical optimism, right? It's like,
sure.
It's like, wow, we've been through many struggles. Like, think of where we've been now. Like, you think things are impossible, but think of where we've been. Think of all the impediments people faced before. But of course, another way of reading it is that actually he's cautioning against a maximalist approach to politics. And he's saying, it's long, but if you're patient enough, just good things eventually happen. They arrive, right? And I mean, that is very much the arc that occurred. Or that, you know, for a lot of liberals, this is how they sort of tell the story of, like, how did equal marriage become a reality, right? Obama wasn't for equal marriage in 2008. He was pro-civil partnerships, but he's like, no, he basically had a kind of socially conservative position on same-sex marriage. And then, you know, Biden famously, like, you know, awkwardly, you know, spilled the beans in an interview. And then, and Obama dropped a hint that his views on the subject were, quote unquote, evolving or whatever. Which is such a funny phrase for the president of the United States to use. It's like, yeah, my views on this are evolving.
Still
it's
buffering.
Like, yeah, right, exactly. Right, but the arc of history is long, but it's like still buffering. And eventually you're going to get, you know, eventually you'll get Medicare for all. In fact, it's like, you just need to sit around and be patient. That's how change happens. It's how all change happens. It's not because of organizing or like decades of struggle or like confronting powerful interests. It's like, if you just wait around long enough, eventually like Obama's like grotesque negotiation with private health insurance companies or whatever, you know, it's going to lead to Medicare for all. And your attempts to actually just push for Medicare for all and be like, okay, well, if that was an incremental step towards Medicare for all, why can't we have Medicare for all? You're actually part of the problem, you know? Okay, so I got another one for you here. Do you remember what the movie Comic-Con was?
Oh, yeah, that was the Morgan Spurlock documentary about Comic-Con. Where
it had that adorable couple in it, that like adorably dorky couple.
The couple who
they got Kevin, so he get the guy gets Kevin Smith to like propose to his girlfriend
for him. Yeah.
I think that's about all we need to say about that.
Okay, here's one episode number 133, The Moral Majority. Do you remember what movie that was?
What was the thumbnail? Can I use my like phone a friend here?
Okay, the thumbnail was a TV. On the TV was Bill O'Reilly talking about the war on Christmas. That's a big hint.
Was this? Oh man, this was another one of those evangelical movies. Oh man, as soon as you say what the title of the movie is, I'm going to remember it.
It's called Last Ounce of Courage.
That's right.
And it is a great Christmas film about the war on Christmas, where there's this guy who I believe he's the mayor of his small town who decides to put up a nativity scene, or is it a Christmas tree in the town square? And then the ACLU man, played by Fred Williamson, comes into the town and like... he carpet bags in and causes a whole ruckus, and somehow it ends with the mayor going to jail, I think, for Christmasing too hard.
For crimes against Christ in America.
Because the whole time, like, he's broken the code of silence about Christmas.
Oh, wait, the mayor goes to jail.
Right. yeah. Like, because everybody...
The activist lib judges put the mayor in prison.
But the town was too afraid to put up their Christmas decorations. until he did it. And he sort of, like, that was tearing down the wall, you know? Let's do one more. See if you can give me, like, a classic, a really good one that I might not know.
Okay, well, I'm partly asking you this one because I don't know the answer, but what was episode 126, Extremely Online, guys?
Okay, so I remember doing that one because we did two in one night. We watched the Mystery Science Theater movie, and I think maybe you were going away or something, so we had to knock out two in one night. And the second one, oh yeah, now I remember. We watched... the Wet Movie One feature film.
Yes.
Out and About in Las Vegas.
Was it Out and About Las Vegas
2? Two. Yeah. That's right. And
Yeah. Out and About Harder.
Yeah. A genuinely mind-boggling piece of work.
You know, another you know, film which is really about, like, the Promethean creative genius behind its creation.
And you got to see Gabriel's dick. You remember that?
Well, it's been a journey, folks. I don't know how to end things after Will said that, but 250 episodes. It's been a lot of fun. Here's to another 250. It's wonderful to be doing these in person again. By the way, thank you. Haven't gotten this in until now, but thank you for all the wonderful feedback we got on the Hamilton episode. I guess the lesson is we should do more things that we hate. Or alternatively, those of you in the superdelegate tier should promote more movies that we're actively going to hate so that we have to watch them. Because I think...
I disagree. I would like to see more movies like The Conformist.
Until next time, folks. Thanks.
It's up to us to pave the way with our blood and sweat and tears. For we must be doing something right to last.